Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Oh, hallelujah, Father. It is so true. There is nothing that compares to you. We are so grateful to be in your presence. Lord, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for Jesus Christ, and we bless your holy name tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, have your way in this place, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a thank offering tonight. Praise his name in this place. Give a loud shout in this place. Yes. Praise his name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated if you can. Here at Little Falls, we do not have seat belts, so therefore, do not be silent in the midst of God. You know, the church that I grew up in, when you sat down with your parents, and we were eight children, when my father lined up those eight children, it was very difficult to sit and be silent. I had two brothers. They couldn't get it right. So they knew that pinching, you know, that thing. And I praise God because I never want to be silent for Jesus. Tonight, we are in a time of thanksgiving. It is a time for inspection. It's a time where we take stock. It is a time where we reflect. It is a time where we think of what God has done for us, because he's done a lot. So my message is filled with thanksgiving. Are you filled with thanksgiving? Why did I choose filled with thanksgiving? The more I got into thanksgiving, the more I realized that it is all about God. And we as children of God, we sometimes miss what it's all about, because God has given us the greatest gift, but not just one gift. God has given us many gifts as children of God. He's blessed us with so many things, and it is so hard when you see children of God miss the gifts. Now, the greatest gift we know that the Father hath sent is Jesus Christ. It is the greatest gift that has come to this planet. But when Jesus left, the Father gave us someone still like him, like his Son. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's imparted the Holy Spirit to us. If it's not for the Spirit of God, it is impossible to serve God. Believe me, that is one thing I know for certain. I have tried as a younger Christian to serve God without the Holy Spirit and couldn't get it right. Until the day I surrendered and I opened up this gift of the Holy Spirit, and he started working in my life to achieve the will of God. Then the Holy Spirit inside of us, believe me, he's not silent. It is the most powerful force in the universe. He is so powerful, but he's inside me and you. Why filled with thanksgiving? If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, shouldn't we talk different, walk different, be different, have a different mindset, have a different focus on life, be totally different than the person next to me? I want to celebrate this here by the leading of God's Spirit in this church. Tonight, I want to thank the Father for the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when you started serving God? You know, that day, the Holy Spirit came inside of me. I was so different. Inside of me was ignited a joy that I could not understand. That I, you know, that honeymoon phase when you gave your life to the Lord. That time that you ate, you slept, everything you did was God, the Word of God. You couldn't keep your mouth shut. But then we go on. Then we, as we move along, we get used to Christianity. But I want to tell the church tonight that the Spirit that is inside of us is no different than the day He filled us. The church of the Lord must get ready to be activated to do the powerful things of God He wants to do on this planet. I'm excited about the future of this church, the future of you and I. We're not going in a holiday season. I know, relax. I'm just on fire. Being with Jesus, you know. I know it's holiday time. You'd like to have a nice, calming message. But it's difficult because the Spirit of God inside of us, He gets busy with us. And then we, you know, you kind of like cannot wait to come here and tell someone that He's busy. So get busy with God. Do not slack down this December. This December, become thankful for everything you have. Amen. You know, it's the same when you got married. Do you remember when you prayed? Maybe you were saved. You said, Father, give me my wife. Then you met her. Oh, my word. Pastor Johan is seated here. They're still in love. And when you met her, and now after many years, it's like, hello. It shouldn't be like that. You know, do you remember when you bought that first brand new car and you drove it out? That excitement. I remembered when I drove that thing out there. I made sure the insurance was ready and signed. Everything had to be perfect. And then after a couple of years, I looked at the old lady and said, where have you been? You know, if you leave us humans, we tend to, you know, grow old. We tend to become stale. We tend to step spiritually a step backward. But not with God. God is the youngest person in this church here tonight. You better believe that. He's vibrant. He's younger than a teenager. I do not know how to express the youthfulness of our God. He's the Ancient of Days, but yet he's God. How do I say that? It's difficult. Try to find your own way of expressing when you experience the powerful, mighty God we serve. But I have to get to my message. I want to say, firstly, that a life of prayer and thanksgiving is the most important thing or things or tools a Christian have in your arsenal of living. Prayer and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is such a great important part of our lives, and we need to... I deliberately want to ruffle the nest about our Thanksgiving here at Little Falls. Because what is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is connected to praise, and praise is connected to worship. And these three ways are the avenues into God's presence. It's the only avenues we have into God's presence. Thanksgiving is to acknowledge, and you can write this down, is to acknowledge God's goodness. That is what Thanksgiving is really about. It is about that we have a good God. Number two, praise is to acknowledge God's greatness. Thanksgiving is God's goodness. Praise is God's greatness. And worship is God's holiness. We've been taught in Bible school, the way you come to God, you need to be careful. You don't just walk up into the throne room and say, Lord, I want to worship you. You start, first of all, you go to the gate. And the gate, you know, you stroll to the gate. And the gate, when you go to the gate, you think in your heart, what should I be thankful about? What should I be excited about? And this is the one thing. When a person loses the focus upon God's goodness, you lose the focus on God's provision. When people start believing that God is no more good, they lose it. And then, you see, you go with thanksgiving in your heart to the gate. With praise, you open the gate to go and worship God. So praise is something wonderful. That is why you should buy an expensive hi-fi, so that when you praise God at home, if you live in a complex, you know, I heard the other day that people are restrained from worshiping God in complexes. Now, let me tell this church, it will be a very complex situation for them, because they should bring their breathalyzer tests with to see what kind of spirit I have. So I'll be loud for my God wherever I go. But then worship. You see, worship is connected to God's holiness. That is why the angels in God's presence, the only thing they can say or could utter is holy, holy, holy. It's the only language that is allowed in God's throne room, because that is what people experience, the holiness of God. The closer you get to God, the holier your life becomes. That should be a good amen right there. See, Psalm 100 verse 4 to 5 says the following: enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. That thanksgiving is the Hebrew word tada. And tada means giving thanks with a choir. Did you know that? This is a choir here tonight. That is exactly what we have done here. Enter his courts with praise. That praise is the word tehillah. And tehillah means to sing a psalm of thanksgiving. Not tequila. Someone missed me right there. Tehillah. It's a Hebrew word. So when, first of all, when the choir comes to the chords with songs of thanksgiving in their hearts, they do the following. Thankful is the word yada. And yada means to give thanks with extended hands. It's very biblical to raise up your hands in church. Everybody, every person in church, every single person in church, please raise up your hands. That's it. That's it. This is what we do here at Little Falls. We raise up our hands to our God. You know what raised hands means? It means surrender. We have surrendered to our God. And then to bless his name, if I have the right word here, means barak, to kneel in thanksgiving. So now we tada, we come with a choir. And then we tehillah, and then we yada, which with extended hands we come to our God and we bless his name. That is what we do in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's much deeper than saying thank you. Much deeper, deeper in the presence of God. The funniest thing is that while I was busy preparing this message, I was thinking of atheists. How pathetic a person is that deliberately do not believe in God. Deliberately. And I was thinking of a specific person that by the name of Richard Hawkins, I don't know if some of you know him, but he's such a blatant atheist against Christianity. And I was meditating with this, and the Lord answered me yesterday like a shout. I said, Lord, how is it that people can miss the love of God? How is it possible? They have, and I thought, they have all these PhDs. And you know what the Holy Spirit brought up in my heart, what a PhD is? A PhD is the penny haven't dropped. Praise the Lord. That's really what the Holy Spirit gave me. I sat there and I said, Lord, that's funny. But yet we love them, you know, but the penny haven't dropped yet. They haven't got the Holy Spirit. Now I want to go to my first scripture for the evening, Philippians 4 from verse 4. It says the following, dear children of God, listen to this. Philippians 4 verse 4 says the following. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I've done something for you. This man standing here. I wanted to investigate a portion of this scripture. So what I did is that I have a lot of commentaries, dictionaries. I have a lot of books of the Bible. And I went and I searched for you, especially for the church here tonight, with every single IQ meter I have inside of me, with all my energy, all my focus. You know, when a pastor gets down to the Word of God, you open it up, you take your whole being and you focus. That's what I did for you. And what I got is the following. Listen to this. It says here, be anxious for nothing. Now that word nothing, my focus was on the word nothing. I wanted to investigate what nothing means. And I got a wonderful answer. It is deep. It is powerful. Nothing means nothing. I've really, really, with you in focus, I wanted to know what nothing means. And I could not get to the depth of nothing because nothing is really nothing. Now, when God says through the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing. Why are we so anxious? I want to say why people are anxious, Christians. Why Christians are anxious. Because the moment you lose your focus on true thanksgiving, you lose your focus away from God. We need to get back to a place where we, on a daily basis, get back to proper thanksgiving and prayer and praise and worship in the presence of the Almighty God. Worship is not just for a Sunday. Praise is not just for a Sunday. Thanksgiving is not just to come to church and be thankful. It is a lifestyle. It is an attitude. It is a person. Amen. So let me go through that scripture once again for you. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. Now that rejoice in the Lord always, that is the focus. When we go through difficulty, try to do it differently. When you face something hard, do it differently. Do not go into problems and problematics with an attitude that, you know, why is this done to me once again? But start to focus upon the goodness of God. Get the answer from God and speak life over your problems. And you start with thanksgiving. Now, the first thing you need to do is to say, Lord, thank you for the problem. How many of you say to the Lord, thank you for my problems? It is wonderful to have problems. It is the most beautiful thing when suddenly everything breaks down. I have learned now I finally learned after close to 28 years serving God, that when something breaks down, God wants to replace it. Amen. That's a good attitude. I want to tell you, I cannot wait for things to break down. Yes, amen. Yes. Because the stuff doesn't hold me anymore. I speak life over my problems. If something breaks down, live. Do you know every time Pastor Tiens, when we come close to the pulpit, that some things happen in our lives that we cannot tell you about, but the devil doesn't like us preaching here. So then things start going wrong. Now I've learned, Lord, thank you for this thing that goes wrong. Please, Lord, won't you fix it for me? Even this week, at a certain point, I felt so sick. Really, I felt like, yo, this is kind of like fever. What's going on here? I'm on my way to the pulpit again. And right there, now I've learned as well. The moment that happens, guess what this man does? I was standing in my room where I felt this, and I said, I do not take this. In Jesus' name, I rebuke this. Immediately, the fever left, and here I'm standing. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is not glorified in sickness. He's not. It's not from Him. Do not accept it. Amen. Okay, let me go on. I've got to get back to the message. So first of all, let your gentleness be known to all men. And then it says a powerful statement which we miss. The Lord is at hand. What does the Lord is at hand mean? It means that wherever I go and I face any troublesome situation, the Lord is at hand, next to me. I live my spiritual life with the idea the Lord is next to me, day in, day out, second by second, millisecond by millisecond. Do you know how that have kept this man from doing mistakes? With the idea that the Lord is standing right here with us. You must have that in your life. You see, rejoicing leads to more rejoicing. And about prayer, this is what John Wesley wrote on prayer. He said, I am persuaded that God does everything by prayer. If a person does not pray, things does not happen. Finish in klar. That's just the way it is. We need to get back to God on proper serving Him, doing it rightly. Don't just leave your quiet time for that last 5 minutes that we go on our knees, quickly say a prayer out to our workplaces. God deserves our best. You won't believe how wonderful it is when you serve God and you make time for Him, how He makes time for you. We need to make a lot of time for God. Colossians 3:15 says the following, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. And that word thankful in this sense means be gracious and agreeable. Agree what God's word says, not what your circumstances are telling you. And let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now that word, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, is the word called umpire. You know what an umpire is? An umpire is someone in a cricket match that decides, like a referee, is this legal or not? Now, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I have prayer on my side when I do a mistake. So, I call on my umpire to justify me. And when my umpire justifies me, he says to me, not out. And he says to the devil, who knows cricket here? Oh, it's a beautiful thing, this. I love it. Devil, out. It's either in or out. And to the devil, that umpire says, get out. Get out. Get out of my children's homes. Get out of their lives. But yes, get out. Move it. So you be the person that lifts up the finger. I'm going to imagine this in the homes now. Everybody's there. Praise the Lord. So, when God says you're not out, you're not out. Amen. You're in. Still, hold that bat. Step forward. Hit that ball of a Satan. Praise the Lord. You see, we need to be careful in God's presence. Here's the umpire. The umpire is close to us. I've had young people ask me, Pastor, would it be okay if I go to certain places? Now, I can give you my opinion, but if you are truly saved, the Holy Spirit will impart to you what you need to do. Young people, when you go places, well, any person here tonight, when you go to a place, would what I'm going to do there and would the place itself reflect the goodness of God? If it doesn't, run. Lift the finger and run. Get a taxi. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That tells me that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you some scriptures, the importance of the infilling of God's Spirit in your life. Exodus 31 verse 3 says, I have filled him with the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship. In Luke 1:15 it says of John the Baptist, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:24 says of Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Jesus in Luke 4:1 says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:17, Ananias prayed for Paul and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me to you that you may regain sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13 verse 9 says, but Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on Elymas the sorcerer. Acts 4 verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. All these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is why they could live their lives fully and have proper thanksgiving with God. You see, without the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you cannot serve God. It is impossible. There is no person on this planet that have ever served God properly without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's just the way it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, he says, after those things, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are important aspects for us to make it through to heaven. You've got to rejoice always. How do you rejoice always? By the leading of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Then it doesn't matter what my bank account looks like, what my marriage looks like, what anything looks like. It is about God's Spirit that leads me. It is so important what I'm telling you. It is time for us to ask ourselves the question, when last have I had a true infilling of God's Spirit? Because a person that lacks the infilling and the new infilling of the Spirit of God will not want to come to church, will not want to go to a home cell, will not want to go to places where we could sing together for the praises of God. Smith Wigglesworth said of prayer, listen to what he said about prayer. He said that he never prayed more than an half an hour. Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, thank the Lord, now I can pray less. No, wait. But he said, but he never prayed without an half an hour. So, every half an hour, he sent up a message to God. Every time. Joyce Meyer says that wherever she's going, she says, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And she's learned that so much that she feels how the Holy Spirit invigorates her life because she's consistently praising God. Are you consistently praising God? What's the last words you have used coming to church? Be careful now. It says here, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. You see, in everything you'll see God at work where you can thank Him. And it is time for us to test ourselves to see whether we are really giving God thanks for our lives. A person that totally missed God was Uzzah. Who knows Uzzah? Uzzah is a person that King David wanted the ark to come to the city of David, and they prepared a cart, built a brand new cart, and took some oxen that have never done any work, and they properly prepared this thing. And you know what happened? The oxen stumbled. Uzzah put out his hand and tried to stop the ark from falling off. Now, what is wrong here? Why did this man die? Have you ever checked out why he died, why he really died? First of all, he did not follow God's prescription for handling the ark correctly. Number one, he was a Levite. Only Levites were allowed to carry the ark, but not just any Levite. They had to be Kohathites from the clan of the Kohathites. Only those people were allowed to touch the poles on which the ark was placed. No man was supposed to touch the ark. And because of that mishap, the man died. How many times we die spiritually because we do not follow God's instructions of entering His presence, giving Him thanks? That is where spiritual death happens. We need to be careful how we serve God. We need to follow God because He's truly holy. He's loving and kind and just and merciful. But above all of that, God is holy. And the holy God deals with everything with a holy focus. He wants us. Don't believe the lie of the devil that the Lord wants to leave you as you are. When the Lord is finished with us on a daily basis, we should be better. He does not allow willful sin. You cannot live together in a marriage and think you will be blessed if there's strife and just bad things, words, harshness. God wants marriages to be restored. Young people cannot just live together unmarried. Doesn't work that way. Can never be blessed. At least not here at Little Falls. Amen. Praise God. James 4 verse 8 says, this is the way you come closer to God, people. To have true thanksgiving. It is, James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We cannot have two masters in our lives. You cannot. The Lord clearly said to me over this weekend, too many people have more than one master in their life. That is why they are sick, and that is why they are battling. You cannot. God will never allow more than Him in your life. Because what happens, go to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and 7, and you will read where Jesus said, you cannot have two masters. But if you go on just a couple of passages on, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow takes care of itself. If you have more than one master in your life, you, believe me, you will worry. But when God and Him alone is my only focus, then I have peace. Peace like a river. I get into the river of God. When God is your only master, you get into His river. He washes you clean. He feeds you. He fills you. And that is His plan with us. Hebrews 12, 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Listen to this. It says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let us have grace. Do you know the word grace means thanksgiving? It's exactly in the Greek what the word grace means. It means thanksgiving. If you greet someone in Spain, what do you say to that person? Grazie. Do you know that? I suppose you don't have Spanish friends. Nobody here. If you greet an Italian, how do you say thank you for an Italian? As well. That is grace. They greet each other with grace. We should change our thank you to grazie. Grace. Grace, 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 grace is thanksgiving. If you need grace in your life, start saying thank you to God. Start seeing His provision and start saying thank you. That is how we receive grace from God. I have to come into a landing in a minute from now. And I will leave you empty if I do not read to you something. A person that really knew how to say thank you to Jesus. Listen to this. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but this is quite significant. Who knows Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom is one of the most powerful women that have walked this planet. The way she lived. Listen to this. Have you ever heard this? In her autobiography, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom tells of a time she and her sister were forced to take off their clothes during the Nazi inspections at the death camp. There is nothing as more degrading as you're forced to stand naked in front of thousands of people. This is what happened to her. Miss ten Boom stood in a line feeling forsaken and defiled and violated. Suddenly she remembered that Jesus hung naked on the cross. Struck with wonder and worship during that seemingly forsaken moment, ten Boom leaned forward and whispered to her sister. She said, Betsy, they took His clothes too. Betsy gasped and said the following, this makes me emotional. Betsy, her sister, said, oh, Corrie, I haven't thanked Him. Have we thanked Him that He hung naked on a cross so that we don't have to be naked? There's so much to be thankful for. There's so much. I think we must make a list of everything that is problematic in our lives. And then we must make a list of the things which we can say thank you for. And I want to say to you, church, the list of thank yous will outstrip the list of problems in our lives, million by one. But yet we focus upon the little things that are wrong with all our energy. We need to become more thankful towards God and what He has done in our life. And I am finishing off with the following. Listen to this as well. Robert E. Bruce relates something that he experienced. While walking along a busy street one day, I heard someone singing. His sweet voice was distinguishable even above the noise of the traffic. When I located him, I noticed that he had no legs and was pushing himself through the crowd in a wheelchair. You know, you can see, you can hear and feel a joyful person. Catching up with him, I said, I want you to know, friend, that to hear you singing with a person with your condition, it lifts me up. And he answered, this man in the wheelchair answered back with a great smile, a grateful smile. And the person said, when I stopped looking at what I had lost and began concentrating on what I had left, I found much for which I could rejoice and be happy. What are those things tonight that have really kept you back from experiencing God? If we are unthankful in our lives, we will be a backslidden person. If we are unthankful in our lives towards our spouses, we will never appreciate why God has given them to us. If we are unthankful towards our children, we will never lift them so that they could become adults that could honor God for the blessing of good parents. If we moan and complain like the Israelites in the desert, then we will only stay a period of time and then we will die. God truly spoke to me where He said to me, He wants His people to make lists, to come to Him and start saying thank you for everything around them. And I think we must take it serious, because Thanksgiving is much more than money. Thanksgiving is the person of Jesus Christ Himself. So tonight, I want the whole church, every person here, we haven't done this in many, 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 many years. I want every person, if you can, to go on your knees right now by your chair and say thank you to Jesus Christ. Let us do that, every person in this place. Father God, we humbly come to you right now. Lord, we bend our knees on this side of the grave because you are our God. Lord, we want to thank you tonight. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ. We want to thank you tonight for his blood and his body. Father, we want to thank you that he is raised from the dead. He's now seated at the right hand of God, from where he looks at us and he loves us. He is our advocate. He is the one interceding right now in the throne room of God, Father. And Lord, if our hearts have become hardened and if we have become that person, Father Lord, that you look upon and you say, that person need to draw closer to me. All of us, we do it tonight. We thank you tonight for the grace of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that you've given us. Father, we love you and we appreciate you. And we bless your holy name tonight in this place. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we pray, Father God. Every person, I want you to pray after me. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you right now to forgive me of all of my sins. Lord, I tonight accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, please write my name in the book of life. Father God, I thank you now. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us get up and let us stand up and let us give God a praise offering in this place. Let's shout out to Him. Bless His holy name. Praise His holy name. We worship you, Lord. Yes, shout out. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. We praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah. While you are standing, I have a couple of prayer cards. I just want to pray for these people. They are not here tonight, but we are going to pray for their breakthrough. We have Elias Dunias, and this man has cancer. Well, cancer, not anymore. And Yvonne Bredenkamp wants us to pray for Minky Barker, and she was involved in a car accident 2 weeks ago and broke her arm, and there's not a lot of success with the broken arm. God is going to change that. And Louise Miller, she has an infection in her foot. She's admitted to Flora, and she's got sugar diabetes. So right now, everybody, lift up your hands towards these cards and let's pray for them. Father God, Lord, by faith in the name of Jesus Christ, we right now release into their lives, into their bodies, the healing that came through the blood of Jesus. We command their bodies to react right now in Jesus' name. We speak life. We say to cancer, die. We say to that arm, live and be corrected in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for that sugar diabetes to go in Jesus' name. Father, we plead your precious blood upon their lives right now. And we say for them, they will live in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a thank offering for this. Praise His name. So church, I think we have a little bit of homework to go and do. Go and think of how many things you could say to the Lord and you could thank Him for. And there's a lot of things. Now, if you are married, turn to your wife and say to her that you love her. If you have a teenager next to you, love them as well. I now release you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and go out and be a blessing wherever you go in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.